Well, good morning, everybody. I usually watch on the video stream from home. Anyway, everybody greeted me when I came. My name is Lee Listman, for those who are watching. When we read the New Testament, we see that when Jesus talked about the law, he talked about the importance of the spiritual intent of the law. He talked about how it's not thou shalt not kill, because the Pharisee can say, I will not kill because what will my neighbors think? What will the people think? Well, I might get stoned. That's why I'm not going to kill the man. He said, no, you shall not hate. You shall not lust after a woman in your heart, or you've committed adultery in your heart. It was about the spiritual principle behind the law. And that's why all the law and the prophets hang on the commandments of God, that you're to love your neighbor as yourself. So when we see the law of instruction in the Torah, we need to know what the spiritual intent of the law is. For the Ten Commandments, it's obvious it applies to all mankind, all times, whether you lived in the Middle Ages, whether you live in South America, it doesn't matter, the sun rises and sets for the Sabbath day, you can kill, you can lust, you can lie, you can steal, that's for all mankind. When it comes to a lot of the other principles in the Torah, it's about time and place and where you're located. For example, in Deuteronomy 22, verse 8, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version, it says, when you build a house, then you shall make a parapet for your roof, that you may not bring the guilt of bloodshed on your household if anyone falls from it. Well, it's a principle of safety. In North Africa, in the Middle East, a lot of the homes have flat roofs because people dwell up there. They look at the sky. It's a little cooler. They spend time up on the roof. And they want to have a fence or something to protect people from falling over the edge. The northern hemisphere here, we got high-pitched roofs. The further north you go, you got to keep the snow off of it. None of you are dwelling up on your roofs during the daytime, but the principle of safety would be applying to us. If you built a deck and you have steps going down, well, you want to put a railing on there. Now, that's probably the city ordinance anyway, but the principle is one of safety, looking out for the needs of others unless someone falls. In Exodus 21, verse 29 and 36, if a man owns an ox that tends to push a lot, he doesn't confine the ox. If it kills another ox, well, he's got to pay that other person his ox. If the ox that he knows tends to push a lot with his horns and he kills a man, then both the ox and the owner of that ox is going to be put to death. Very serious. Law of safety. And for our principle, it's an obvious principle. If you have a vicious dog that tends to bite, you better have a high fence, a strong chain if you take him for a walk. It's something you just look out for the needs of others in that principle. And you might even say, if you drive a car with bald tires, bad brakes, you in essence have a mechanical ox that tends to push a lot. You're going to rear end the guy up ahead of you, especially on wet roads. So it's a matter of looking out for others. It's a safety issue. And speaking of oxen, when Paul talks about, he uses principles of the law, he talks about the law says in Deuteronomy 22:10 that you're not to plow with an ox and a donkey. Well, he uses the principle that don't be unequally yoked. He uses it in marriage with an unbeliever. He says in Deuteronomy 25, verse 4, not to muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. He uses this as an example. Well, you take care of the oxen, yes, let them eat, but also we want you to, those who labor in word and doctrine, the laborer is worthy of his hire, that are able to pay the person who is doing that and laboring accordingly. Where I'd like to go with us today is applying the intentions of the law with the food that we eat and how we live our lives. I'm thankful for your announcements, Dave. It tied right in. And the title of the message is called Food for Thought. Food for Thought. And it's just going to be part one of a two-part message. I'm not going to bore you all day today, but I'll be coming back in 2 months on the Cinco de Mayo. On the 5th of May, I'll be flying back. Then you'll hear part two. But I want to emphasize food for thought because I'm not trying to tell you, you must eat this, you must do that, or be judgmental, because the kingdom of God is not about meat and drink, and we aren't to judge one another concerning the food we eat. But we do have things to think about, because we live in a different time, in a different society, and in a culture that's never existed before. We live in a crazy time that's different than any other time in history. Much of the food industry is controlled by corporate greed, factory farms, people not caring about your health or what goes into what you eat. And frankly, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the apostles, they'd be shaking their heads in unbelief of what we're doing, what we have been doing. What did they eat? What did the Torah say? Well, if you turn to Genesis 1, verse 29, and God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you which shall be for food." And then in Deuteronomy 14, verses 3 through 20, I won't read through it, but he talks about the clean and versus the unclean animal. The clean animals will be for food. Basically, the ones who were excluded were animals that were hunters. And you can tell the hunters because their eyes are on the front of their face, the dogs, the wolves, the canine, the cats, the lions and tigers and bears, oh my, you know, the ones with the eyes in the front. The sheep, the bullocks, the buffalo, the elk, animals with eyes on the side of their head so they have a good peripheral vision to look out for the hunters that are going to kill them as long as they chew the cud. Those were the clean animals. And in case you were wondering, our eyes are in the front. We are hunters. He also talked about, in the describing it, he talks about the birds of prey, the scavengers, the crows, the buzzards. Those are not clean to eat. Or the fish without scales and fins, the shellfish and what have you, that clean up the poisons and the dirt and stuff on the bottom of the oceans. So he tells us what to eat. This is what he created. What is his intention? His intention is that he made us. And this is the blueprint. I know how I made you. Your DNA. What goes into your body. This is what you should be doing. This is what you should be eating. I remember 50 years ago, many of us in a previous organization, there was a huge controversy about, is there any lard in the Nabisco cracker? I mean, it was crazy. I don't know if you remember that. Oh, it was a big controversy back in the mid to late 60s. Is there any lard in that Nabisco cracker? And we were brethren were judging one of the brethren. You know, white sugar, white flour was bad. Brown sugar, brown is bad. We were all concerned about the Nabisco cracker, but we weren't concerned about the blueberry Pop-Tart that had no blueberry in it. It was seven different chemicals, names you couldn't even pronounce. And other things, and they're in there, but there was no lard in it, so therefore it's okay. And we can eat that blueberry Pop-Tart, wash it down with some Sunny Delight or some Tang that the astronauts took, you know. Just drink it on down because there's no unclean meat in there, you know. So we can go ahead and eat it on down and have a good time. The sad thing is that processed foods and additives and colorings and chemicals has gotten 10 times worse than it ever was 50 years ago. I mean, 50 years ago, you could get away with some things and just eat what you want. But today, things have happened. Things have changed. Today, we pick up a box of processed food or breakfast cereal, and it's a bunch of chemicals. You read the ingredients, and how many of them are an herb that yields seed or fruit-yielding seed? In some cases, the only thing you can see on that box is, well, it's got refined flour in there. Okay, well, they took all the nutrients out of it and they refined the flour. That came out of a plant. High fructose corn syrup. Well, high fructose corn syrup technically comes from corn. Now, of course, that corn has been genetically modified for most all the corn in the United States, where they actually change the DNA of that so it'll create its own pesticide and also be Roundup ready so they can just spray the fields and kill everything else except that stalk of corn. So that's okay. That's technically there. But if we actually took the box and we held it up, and we read the ingredients, is this what God said when he listed it? We say, well, no, I can't pronounce most of these things. No, 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 and oh man, that's that's antifreeze. That's a no, no. But there's no lard in it, so therefore it must be good for food. Here's some food for thought. If only 10% of what's in that box is approved by God, but 90% of it is approved by the FDA, the Federal Drug Administration, then maybe we should think twice about what we're eating as food. Like Dave said, take care of your bodies. What are you doing? And frankly, had Jesus come in our days, he'd probably look at us and say, you guys, you strain at a gnat, you're swallowing a camel. Because this is not food. Had Moses lived in the time, our day, the book of Deuteronomy probably would have been 100 times bigger too. You know, personally, I had my aha moment about 9 years ago. 9 years ago, I thought I had prostate cancer. The doctor referred me to a urologist. Checked, says, yes, it's enlarged. We need to do a biopsy. And so there's like a two-week period. We got to wait for the results of the biopsy to see if I had prostate cancer. My dad had died of prostate cancer. My uncles on both sides of the family died prostate cancer. My older brother since then got prostate cancer, had his removed. But it runs in the family, and it's common among many men in America, African-American men in particular, prostate cancer. So during that time, I'm worried and thinking it turned out okay. It was not prostate, it was just a little extra calcium in the prostate. And the importance when I did more research is be sure not to take a lot of calcium and take D3 and selenium and other things at the same time, because you get too much calcium. That's not good for your prostate for men. So just as you learn. But while I was looking at this, I realized I had to change my lifestyle, what I was doing. I mean, I've been eating all the processed. I was eating Hamburger Helper. I was drinking Diet Cokes. I was eating my Tostitos. It was a joy. You know, whatever you want, doesn't matter. There's no lard in it, so it must be good. What happened was interesting. The first month or so, I lost 30 pounds. And another month or two later, I lost another 20 pounds. And I felt great. I no longer had cravings for ice cream and sugar and the sugary things. Because it just changed my whole chemistry in my body just to get rid of all that stuff out of me. I was no longer pre-diabetic. My doctor had told me that I was pre-diabetic. And I was no longer pre-diabetic. Everything was fine. And just giving up the processed foods meant that I was eating a third of all the salt that most other everyone else is taking in. You know, 200 years ago, the average American ate 2 pounds of sugar every year. 2 pounds. According to the United States Department of Agriculture, the average American today consumes anywhere from 150 to 170 pounds of sugar every year. That's almost a half a pound of sugar every day. Unbelievable. Sugar and high fructose corn syrup is in everything. It's in your ketchup, it's in your bread, it's in your soup, it's in your peanut butter, it's in your cough syrup, it's in everything. And that's why as consumers, we got to take a look and see, what are we doing? This is crazy. Our processed foods now have so many chemicals, colorings, artificial flavorings, and flavor enhancers and things in it, that all these non-food items combined with all the added sugar and sodium is wreaking havoc on our bodies. And God did not intend us to have all this inside of us. In order to make a bigger profit, chemists are combining different chemicals and flavor enhancers, cravings, so you won't just eat one chip. You got to eat the whole bag. You don't want to have seconds of that portion. It's for profit. It's for money. And I don't judge and condemn people who are overweight. I still got to lose another 20 pounds myself. But you got to, you know, I don't condemn people because it has been, I'm going to say a conspiracy, but for a profit motive, they want you to eat more of their product. They don't care what happens to your body. It's all about money. Last July 2017, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention warned, the CDC warned that 100 million adult Americans either have diabetes or are pre-diabetic, and that in the next 5 years, all those who are pre-diabetic will have diabetes. Think about it. That's virtually every other adult in America is going to have diabetes. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did not have to check their blood sugar before they killed the fatted calf to see if they can eat. Something is terribly wrong. This is crazy. Absolutely crazy. What's happening? We're eating bigger portions of food. America's getting larger. I don't know if you've seen that cartoon on Facebook. Once in a while you see a cartoon. It shows 20 years ago there's a slim guy watching a fat TV, and now there's a fat guy watching a slim TV. Our TVs have gotten slimmer, and our people have gotten bigger. Because we have a sedentary lifestyle. A sedentary lifestyle, but you know, it's crazy. You know, God didn't intend us to live that way. You know, 50 years ago, we also had some what I call them health nuts, but same, almost health nuts. Some of the people who were into health back 50 years ago, they looked a little pasty in complexion. They didn't look all that healthy themselves, and you know, they were also the health police. They want to tell you what's inside your hot dog, and you know, and condemn everybody around them. And it's but they were more into roughage. They were into you got to eat your granola and take your vitamins, and what they've learned more since those days of 50 years ago is it's not about taking vitamins. I don't take vitamins. I take maybe vitamin D3 because I live in the Pacific Northwest and there's no sunlight. But by and large, you get your vitamin C out of an apple. You're not only getting the vitamin C, you're getting 120 different phytonutrients that come with that apple, the pectin and everything else that comes with that fruit, the way that God created it. If you juice that apple, you get solid fructose that goes shooting to your pancreas and you're creating your insulin. It's like, it's not good to just drink a bunch of juice, but to actually eat the fiber, because then you don't have the fructose spiking up your sugar. But they didn't, you know, things have changed since then, like the old song says, times they are a-changin'. I have two brothers and a sister. My two brothers both have type 2 diabetes. That's 50% of us. And until 9 years ago when I lost my 50 pounds, I was pre-diabetic. So the three boys would be numbered under the 100 million Americans, adults, that the CDC was talking about. No, it's crazy. It's crazy. I'm not a health nut. I'm not a Chicken Little, but something is happening. Something is happening right now in our country. And it's unprecedented in our lifetime. My mom and dad never had type 2 diabetes. Most of the people, their friends, didn't have type 2 diabetes. Many, many, many people have type 2 diabetes. But you know, my two brothers and what the CDC is warning is kind of like the canary in the coal mine. We've got to wake up, so to speak, and smell the coffee. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they wouldn't say, well, I'm going to eat this, but I'm going to check what we call the Mesopotamian Council for Canaanite Health. And so three-quarters of what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob eat are approved by the Mesopotamian Center for Canaanite Health. No, they ate what God said they should be eating. They ate what God said. Our children with learning disabilities, not just drugs, but the food they're eating, it's skyrocketing. Attention deficit disorder. Over the last 20 years, there's been a surge in the number of children with food allergies. In the last 20 years, it's gone up 50%. The number of children with food allergies. That's 13% of all, 8% of all children, 13 million children. They got to avoid peanut butter. They got to avoid lactose. They got to avoid certain foods. Carry the EpiPen with them because they might get an allergic reaction to something they eat, if they eat a nut or something. The scientists don't know the reason why. Some are theorizing, well, it's maybe the food they're eating. Some are saying, well, we live in a too clean an environment. You know, 20 years ago, kids rode their bikes through kids made mud pies, they got into the dirt, and it has good bacteria. They're supposed to have good bacteria inside your gut. Well, kids don't play in the dirt. They don't ride their bikes. 30 years ago, remember E.T., the kids are riding through the neighborhood in their bikes. I don't see kids riding through the neighborhood in their bikes. They're playing video games. They're indoors. Adults are indoors. They're on Facebook. They're playing with a computer. They're not moving around. More sedentary lifestyles. And the kids, when they're little children or toddlers, they get a little sniffle, they shoot them with antibiotics. And the antibiotics kill all the good bacteria within you as well. So that's some of the theorizing that some of the scientists are saying, why are they getting all these children, millions of them, getting food allergies? Well, there's something going on. Something is happening. They don't understand why. And the same thing with all the other things that are going on in the with the childhood learning disabilities. I remember when I, 9 years ago, when I was studying about prostate cancer and prevention and what foods to eat, what to avoid, I learned that much of the chemicals and things that are put in our food that's approved by the FDA, and the FDA, the Federal Drug Administration, is a revolving door with the industry they're overseeing. In other words, they go to work for a chemical company, they're working for a chemical company or a pharmaceutical company, now they go to work for the FDA, they're overseeing the products, now they're going back to work 6 months later after they approve the product, they're working for the FDA, making huge salaries, and you say, wait a minute, what's happening here? According to the Washington Post, 78% of all congressmen and 87% of all senators upon leaving office become lobbyists. A lot of them are lobbying for the same companies they are overseeing in the beginning and now they're working for the company. And you can't, it's very difficult to prove quid pro quo that, yeah, I approve this because you're going to offer me a nice salary in 6 months. It's very hard to prove that, but it's happening. I know Congress, they did make a restriction on the military. A general now cannot make an appropriation for a tank or a military piece of equipment and then go work for Rockwell International or for a military company in the industrial complex. It's forbidden by law. But they haven't done that for Congress. They have not done that for the FDA or most other federal agencies. It's I remember years ago, back in the 60s, we rode to church with a woman. She did independent testing. She and her husband did independent testing for chemicals and what have you. And she laughed. She says, well, it's independent testing because if you pay for the testing, then you can skew the results any way you want to. It's like, you know, back in the 60s, you could have a tobacco company. We're in Raleigh, North Carolina. We're going to fund this study, and sure enough, tobacco is not bad for you. It's all healthy, and it's good for you, and you can smoke all you want. Well, there's that old adage that whoever pays the band chooses the song. And she described it like bowling. He says, "Have you ever gone bowling?" And I'm going to go bowling. I throw the ball down the lane, and oh man, it was a gutter ball. Let me try that again. Throw another ball down. It's another gutter ball. Well, those were the practice shots. Those are just the practice shots. They don't count. I'm going to start the game now, but those are just practice. The cage for this filter in the lab rat, I got to change the filter out. That, you know, maybe that filter needs changing. Let me change that out. Now we're going to go. And then you go bowling another time. You go bowling and you say, well, the first couple of shots are going to be practice shots. I've got to loosen up my arm and get my arm ready. So the first couple will be practice shots. And, ooh, I threw a strike. Ooh, I threw another strike. I wonder how my third frame is going to turn out. Yeah. Some of these are no longer practice shots because I'm doing pretty good on these practice shots. I think I'll make them count. And that's the way it works. Now, hopefully, the last, some 60 years ago, it doesn't work that way. But one thing I do know that in all of the additives being added to our foods, when they do the testing, they do it in a clean environment. By a clean environment, I mean it's in a cage with the lab rat, the clean water, pure air, pure food. They don't want any interaction on that chemical. They want to see what the reaction is for this rat. They don't, in the rat's cage, they don't have polyester carpeting with Scotch guarded, and his little bed is going to be made of memory foam. He's going to have some formaldehyde, compressed furniture in there, giving off fumes. They're not going to hang a little tree, pine-scented tree, for the in his cage. They're not going to brush his little teeth with fluoride toothpaste, shampoo his fur with sodium lauryl sulfate and parabens, and we're not going to give him that Pop-Tart with all those 9 chemicals, and we're not going to give him grapes with pesticide residues on it. We're going to make it a very, very pure environment. So then when it's tested, there's no severe reaction to it. Therefore, we can approve it. What I came to realize is that in that non-real world environment, we are the guinea pigs. We are the lab rats. They don't know what all these chemicals are doing inside of our bodies, what's going on inside. It is, as my best friend John Garnett says, the fix is in. It really is. And if you turn on, if anything goes wrong, if something goes wrong with you, turn on ABC, CBS, NBC. The advertisements are not about Coca-Cola, we'd like to teach the world to sing. They're not singing, let's let Hertz put you in the driver's seat. They're all pharmaceutical company ads. Ask your doctor about Lipitor. Ask your doctor about Xarelto. And then for the next 30 seconds, while the music is playing softly, and you see grandpa playing with a granddaughter chasing the butterflies, if you have thoughts of suicide, if you have oily discharge, if you are uncontrollable diarrhea, if huge rashes are breaking out, if your kidneys are failing, you may die. But, you know, look at all these side effects. And if one of these side effects causes restless leg syndrome, well, in that case, ask your doctor about this drug. And here's the side effects for that one. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy what's happening. My food for thought for today in part one is consider eating the food that is healthy. Dave Antion has talked about it many times from here. He says, eat the whole foods. Eat your cruciferous vegetables, your broccoli, your kale, your cabbage, Brussels sprouts. These are cruciferous vegetables. It's, you know, we don't smoke. We used to have a book that says, is smoking a sin? Well, why is smoking a sin? Well, smoking is a sin because we're the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to honor God in our bodies and glorify Him. Well, the same group that's saying that smoking is not good for you is saying you eating processed meat is as bad as smoking. You're eating some of these other things is as bad as smoking. We can't wolf down a bunch of chemicals and say, well, but that's okay, but I won't smoke. No, it doesn't work that way. Try to consider, and you may not do it all at once, try and break the habit or whatever, eating less processed food, no canned soda, get away from that. And you know, when you lose 3 or 4 bowling balls, you're not carrying it around. And you get rid of, internally, you get rid of all this stuff that's causing the cravings for these things that makes you gain weight. It's a real boon to your own body. Try to eat more organic fruits. You know, it's more expensive, but if it's thin-skinned, your apples, your pears, your plums, grapes, they're thin-skinned. Try and eat organic if you can. If you can't, well, try and eat more or wash them well. If you have the thick-skinned, your avocados, doesn't have to necessarily be organic, your oranges, what have you. But if it's things you're eating, and even if it's an apple or something, wash it very well, because probably 25 people will pick up the apple and say, I don't want that one, and I don't want that one, you know. So still wash your fruit, but try and eat what God created. What He said, this shall be your food. This is what is good for you. When I come back next time, we'll be talking a little bit about, again, not judging one another concerning the food we ate. A little bit more into the meat and into other things that we're eating and ingesting. But I hope that you do take this to heart and think about it, ponder it. Again, don't judge one another and don't be the thought police. And you know, you don't want to go around somebody. And you've all been around somebody who wants to tell you what the ingredients of the hot dog is. You know the body parts inside that hot dog, and here's the sodium nitrates, and 5 minutes later, my hot dog's getting cold. No, don't judge one another. But at the same time, for your own bodies, for your own health, you know, you want to live to see your grandkids graduate from high school, you want to live a little longer life and live a healthier life, consider eating the natural foods that God gave us, and again, we'll talk about that on May 5th when I come back.